Welcome back to Holochat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. Today we are using our expertise as a former English teacher and an active English teacher to discuss how we write about ATs, how we share the good word about ATs, if you will. So we are going to be talking about some things that you should consider if you want to be writing or posting about ATs to, you know, maximize your potential, and then some common pitfalls that we want to avoid.
And I also used to be an internet writer, you know, give some insight into how that industry works, because usually internet writers aren't paid very much, so those people aren't making a lot of money off of these articles that they're writing about ATs.
So let's get into the considerations. The first thing that you really want to think about is, who is your audience? Who are you writing this for?
I think the thing that we see a lot is that people don't know their audience, so they are just writing, and it turns out that the only people who would be interested in the thing are ATeenies, but ATeenies already know all of that.
Right.
So you have to think of, who am I writing this for? Is it for just ATeenies? And if it's just for ATeenies, are you saying something that they don't know? Bobby mentioned her nemesis a couple of episodes ago.
In the tour episode.
Who does the unknown ATs history tidbits. Her audience is new ATeenies. So she knows who her audience is, and she is making her videos for her audience, and that is why they are successful.
Right.
She's not trying to bring in new fans with this content. She's telling ATeenies stuff that they may not know. And that is why Bobby is not her audience, right? Because she's not a new ATeenie. She knows all of this stuff, and that's why the videos don't work for her.
No, they don't at all. So Koreaboo, we all know and love Koreaboo. I have them blocked, so I never see what they talk about anymore. But so Koreaboo will often, when they do articles that are positive at all, it's usually just a compilation of facts. So they not long ago did one about Jung-ho, and we'll circle back to this in a little while later, but they did one about Jung-ho. And it was just things about Jong-ho and things that anyone who stands ATs already knows about Jong-ho. It didn't tell us anything new. It didn't nothing particularly interesting. Things like, he's a powerful vocalist and he's very cute and a real silly guy. And it's like, anybody who's been paying any attention knows all of these things. So
even new fans.
Even new fans know this immediately about Jong-ho. It's one of the first things that you learn. One of the first voices that you become accustomed to is Jong-ho's. So this is not, and we were talking when we were discussing the article earlier, we were talking about how this isn't going to make someone who isn't a fan a fan. This is not bringing in a new ATeenie. This is also not going to interest anyone who doesn't already know things about ATs, who isn't already standing the group. And I told her, she was reading the articles to me, I was like, I stopped listening because I got bored. I'm like, you're just telling me things that I already know.
In fairness, I also stopped reading, like, when I was reading it in my head, I stopped reading it. The only reason that I was able to, like, read as far as I did is because I transferred to reading it aloud. Because it was so, as a Jong-ho stan, I know all of that. And even if I wasn't a Jong-ho stan, like, if I was an AT stan, I would have known all of that.
Well, it's also why, back when we were on Reddit, I never once cared about anyone's appreciation post. About anyone.
How dare you? I wrote some great appreciation posts.
Well, we can talk about that later, but I'm talking about, like, somebody coming on K-pop Fods and appreciation post for Jimin. And I'm like, I have no beef with Jimin.
I think he's great, honestly.
He is great. I think he's fantastic. Don't really actually know much about him because I'm not a BTS stan, but I don't care. End of story. I don't care. Like, because I would read these things. Every now and then we get something that was like an appreciation post, but it was concealed beneath something else, which we're going to talk about later. But straight up appreciation posts, like, here are 17 things that I love about Le Sserafim's. Is there a Chaewon in Le Sserafim?
Beats me.
Is there a Saki? Is Saki a real character in Le Sserafim? I don't know. Okay, I'll pick Lisa from Blackpink, because I know she exists. So If somebody comes on, here are 17 things I appreciate about Lisa from Blackpink, I'm already bored. I don't care. That's not going to do anything for me. I don't really care very much about Blackpink. So you are not making me a non-fan into a fan by just telling me she's a great singer and I appreciate this thing that she did for this one person. And when she flips her hair in that certain way, like I'm out. I'm checked out immediately. So,
I mean, you'd be lucky if you got me to open it.
Oh yeah, those I would just scroll past and, you know, just keep going. And and especially when they call them appreciation post for blah 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 blah, I'm like, okay, you couldn't even come up with a good title, so this isn't gonna be good. So I like, you have to consider who you want your audience to be. Like, if you are trying to convince non-fans to give ATs a try, then you have to come at it from that perspective. If this is for fans, you can't just sit there and tell us things that we already know. It's more fun if you find something new to say, something that's going to be interesting for people who already know all of this information.
Nothing is more disappointing to me than when I see an article titled Five Little Known Facts About Hongjoong, and I open it up and every single fact is something that I have known for years. You know, like, there is nothing more disappointing than that. So it doesn't even bring in like a joyous 18-y, right? Like, you've killed my joy because I've like, now wasted time.
I don't feel like we are more knowledgeable than most 18-y's. I think we're probably your pretty average 18-y as far as
like, for sure,
what we know about the members and the history and all of that. When it comes to lore,
people ask me their birthdays, and I'm like, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's a month.
I do know their birthdays.
It is nice to make content for 18-y's. Like, obviously, that's what we're doing, right? Our podcast, we hope that non-18-y's would find it interesting as a lens for K-pop in general. But our audience is clearly 18-y's. We are, when we make a podcast, we're talking to 18-y's. We're not trying to bring in other people, but I think most common what people want from these types of reviews, these written posts, these appreciations, is they want to highlight the group so that the group can get new fans. They want a promo, right? Like, they want promotional things for the group. And so we have some tips for that, or some other considerations. Like, if your goal is promotion, you have to consider some other things too.
Very important is to consider your timing.
Yeah.
There's a conversation going on Twitter right now. Actually, I think it's kind of mostly faded, but maybe I just blocked everybody. But there has been a conversation going on Twitter specifically about Sanghwa. About, because the ATs have been on break in through most of September. Some of them did have individual schedules. Some of them have individual schedules that they're getting ready to do. Hongjoong and Jungkook right now are in Munich with Henry and someone else that I don't recognize doing that busking show. You know, San is supposed to go to Fashion Week. You know, was it Fashion Week? Yeah, Wooyoung is going as well in Paris. Mingi did quite a few random events that I don't even know what all of them were.
Hongjoong and Mingi both did the G-Dragon event.
So they've been doing a lot of things, but Sanghwa in particular has been very, very quiet. We haven't heard from him. We haven't heard from him on We haven't heard from him on... He's posted some of his concert, like he's going through his back catalog of concert photos. He's posted some of those.
I need to do that too. Good idea, Sanghwa.
So he's been posting those, but he hasn't been on Talk Talk. I don't think he's...
Not a lot.
So he's been very, very quiet. And some ATEENYs have been upset, especially Sanghwa stans, have been upset for years that Sanghwa doesn't get a lot of solo activities. Like, he hasn't had, you know, Yosang was on the show, you know, and Hongjoong were DJs for for
Idol Radio.
Yes, thank you.
Wooyoung has had several solo things.
Wooyoung's done some solo things. He had that documentary thing that they did that I was thinking about the other day. I'd like to watch that again. Son had the Dolce & Gabbana. Son really hadn't had a lot of solo things prior to the Dolce & Gabbana. Mm-hmm. You know, Jungkook's had OSTs that he does. Mingi did the collab with Marani. He has been releasing his Fix Off. So it feels like other members have all had more things going on over the years than Sanghwa has. I mean, he's had a couple of things. He had that show with the mom where he went and he talked to the K-pop fan's mom, and it was very cute and gentle. He had that one where he had the playlist. He just sits down and it plays music, and he types on a phone, just types about the music that they're listening to. Mm-hmm. He had the Gianna boyfriend cover. But beyond that, he hasn't really had a lot of solo stuff.
And that's true. Mm-hmm. It's not wrong.
No, they're not incorrect. He hasn't had a lot of solo things. He definitely, and it does seem really strange that he hasn't been working at all with any fashion house, because he just seems so perfect for it.
Right.
And I don't understand what's going on there. A lot of people do want to blame KQ, because they want to blame KQ for everything because they don't know who else to blame.
Right.
I don't blame KQ because I know, I feel very confident. I don't know, obviously, because I'm not in the room, but I feel very confident that they do also want opportunities for Sanghwa. And I would not be surprised to find out that they've pushed for opportunities for him and those opportunities have just not come through. Or maybe they're still cooking some things and we just need to be patient and wait for those things to happen. Because there could be scheduling issues that have gone on. All sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But all of that to say, Sanghwa's been very quiet. And a lot of ATs, you know, anytime ATs goes quiet, ATs lose their minds. They clamor for them to go on vacation. But the second they go on vacation, ATs start acting like they don't know what to do with themselves.
Right.
So Sanghwa has recently lost a family member. Mm-hmm. He lost them while he was on tour.
I think it was right before the Oakland tour.
Yeah.
Because when I was looking up articles, it said that he was going to miss the Oakland soundcheck.
Yeah. So he had, you know, he flew home very quickly in between Tacoma and Oakland for the funeral. Mm-hmm. But he came back immediately and went right back on tour. So this vacation has been his first quiet time
with his family. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of ATs, because he's been quiet and because we've been hearing about all these other opportunities for the other members, have been complaining about Sanghwa's lack of schedules. Mm-hmm. And what many other ATs have pointed out is that now is not the time, because he's just been through this family tragedy. He's obviously choosing not to be active right now, because if he were wanting to be doing things, we'd probably be hearing more from him on TokTok. We'd be hearing from him on From, and we're just not. Mm-hmm. So that is what we're talking about with timing. Like, what are the other things that are happening? I think it's totally fine and great to want Sanghwa to have more schedules, but now is not the time to be talking about it, because they are aware of what's going on in social media.
Now's especially not the time to be demanding. Mm. There is an account that I have a love-hate relationship with, because sometimes they just make great points and then they just swing wildly. But one of the things that they do that I really appreciate and love, and I think that it is one of the best things that you could do for that type of promo, is they want to see Sanghwa in fashion magazines. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they make these edits. They take the pictures that Sanghwa posts and they kind of edit it to make them more high fashion and post them and try to get, you know, and like tag the fashion houses whose clothes that he's wearing. And I think that's a really cool way to promote one of the members. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun, interesting. And like, that is a wider audience, right? Because that's not just for ATs, that's for anyone who likes fashion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not demanding a schedule. You can post that even while Sanghwa is going through a harder time, because all you're doing is being like, look at Sanghwa. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, depending on what you're doing, timing is more or less important. But for that, you could do it anytime. If you wanted to talk about and like trend your KQ do better hashtag for Sanghwa's schedules when Sanghwa is going through a personal hard time, mm-hmm. that is a That is bad timing.
Because that's going to make him feel pressure and feel like he's letting down the fans because he is choosing not to be active right now. And the thing is that we don't know. We don't know what the members are thinking. We don't, because they don't tell us everything, and nor should they. It is not our place to make assumptions. It is our place to look at like what they are doing. I can tell based on the way that he's not posting a lot. He's not on Talk Talk. He's not being active in ways that he could choose to be active. That tells me he doesn't, he's not feeling it right now. He's focused on his family. He's focused on himself. And that's what he should be doing. You know, y'all demanded that they go on vacation. Let them be on vacation. And being on vacation means they get to do what they want. We don't get to make demands of them right now. Like, I was thinking about, you know, other ways that you can show that you want something without being mad. Like, we want Yuno in a drama. We all want it. I would love to see Yuno in a drama. I want Jungho in a drama. I would love to see more dramas. You know, people who make the edits, like if you hype up Imitation, like, hey, all y'all remember Imitation, watch Imitation, make those numbers go up. Talking about Yuno's role, making edits of his different parts and with, I don't know, drama OSTs or whatever. Like that showing that this is a thing that we want, that we would be very interested in.
There is demand
that there's demand for it. Stay tuned for our Imitation episode. That's going to happen eventually.
But again, making those edits of Yunho in Imitation or Jungho or Songhwa even, or San, that is an audience that is wide, right? Because you're targeting people who like K-dramas and people who like ATs. So you're getting a wider audience.
I know that, I think it was at Valorant that recently released like a new soundtrack or something, and ATs were pretty desperate because we all have hurt feelings based on what happened last year.
Isn't Valorant the one who also sent Yuno a gift package?
I think it was Valorant. I don't know. I can't keep them all straight because I don't do computer games and I definitely don't do competitive ones. But it was one of the ones. It wasn't League of Legends. I feel like it was Valorant. No. It was the animated series that is based on League of Legends on Netflix. I don't know what that's called though.
I don't either.
But they were teasing that they were going to be releasing their new soundtrack. ATs were wild for ATs to be on it. And what a lot of people have done is they've made edits of AT's music over footage from the show to show that it works, that it the vibe is correct. Has it worked? No, obviously not, because AT's are not on the soundtrack because people are stupid and they don't know what they're doing. But that's the sort of promo that I think is always welcome. It's fun. It shows that you are interested. It reaches a wider audience, but it's not sitting there demanding, throwing a tantrum because you're not getting the thing that you want.
And the thing about the Valorant soundtrack, you know, ATs are desperate for KQ to get ATs these opportunities. I'm sure KQ would be over the moon if ATs could be on the Valorant soundtrack, right? Like that would, if KQ had the ability to do that, they would have done it.
Yeah.
Like they would have. They would love that. And here's the thing, going back to what Bobby said, if Songhwa makes money, KQ makes money.
Yeah.
They have no incentive for these boys to be in the dungeon. Like they need them to be out and working because that is how KQ makes money. The fashion deals, they might be more boy specific, like maybe the boy only gets money and KQ doesn't, but I think probably KQ still has some hand in that pot.
Right. So you just, you really do need to consider like what else is happening. Also think about before you tweet, because we have, when is it the right time to quote, protect your boys, and when is it not the right time to protect your boys? And we touched on this a little bit in an episode,
predictions episode,
because of, you know, the situation that's been going on in Korea with the deepfake situation and then with the Taeil situation, and the way that those overlapped but actually had nothing to do with each other,
right? The timing
overlapped, right?
Timing is important.
The Hongjoong and Yosung were put on this dumb list that was posted on like TikTok by a Taeil stan, and a lot of ATs were demanding that KQ speak out in defense of ATs, and like that was not the time. time. That was not the time for them to do that, because ATs were not actually under attack. That was just a random auntie who's saying the normal stuff that aunties say all the time. And if KQ went after every single person on social media who ever said anything bad about ATs ever, they would not have time to do anything else. They would not be getting any of these deals that y'all want so desperately from them. They can't.
It's very tone deaf to say something in that time. And we actually saw this with ATeenies too. There were a lot of ATeenies that were like, I'm so happy ATs would never do what Taeil did, which is such a bad look, right? Timing is so important. It is lovely that ATs all seem to be lovely people, but this isn't really the time to bring that up or talk about. And we've seen it in the past with bullying scandals too. Less offensive when it's done then, but still not a great look when you have a K-pop group member accused of a bullying scandal in high school, and then you have a bunch of ATeenies trot out the high school classmates of ATs who are like, man, they were so cool. They were so nice. Everyone loved them. And that is true. I don't know that that's the time to bring it out.
Right.
I don't think it endears people. It doesn't endear non-fan to the group. And if your goal is to get non-fans, that's not what you're doing. You're just making ATeenies feel good about themselves, but kind of in a gross way.
Well, we had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, like, this isn't even about us. But ATeenies do find ways to make it about us. And I think that for a lot of people, it's sort of like a living vicariously sort of thing.
Yeah.
But like, if I am, like, if I'm an ATeenie and it turns out that Yosung has a bullying scandal, I'm going to pick the member who is the least likely to have ever had any sort of scandal. Let's say Yosung has a bullying scandal. If a TXT stan comes online and starts talking about how Yeonjun, who I think is the one that is Wooyoung's friend.
Could be.
Sure.
I know so little about other groups.
So sorry, Moas. All respect to TXT. I just don't know who they are. So if Yeonjun comes out, like Moas come out and someone has said this really nice thing about Yeonjun, I am not going to jump ship from ATs and start standing TXT on the merit of Yeonjun's actually a nice guy and Yosung was a mean guy. That's not that's not how it works. That's going to make me never want to go near TXT ever, because the fans have pissed me off.
Right.
And I know that there are some people who are better than me and would be able to separate those things. I am not. I'm not one of those people.
Well, here's the thing. We talk about, well, we should believe the victims, so you have to stop standing this person immediately. That's all fine and good, and I'm not even going to touch that. The problem is that if you have been a fan for someone for so many years and all of a sudden you're expected to hate them, that's very painful. It's very hard. It is like going through a breakup. Like, and having someone come in and be like, well, like, imagine it was a breakup and they come in and they're like, well, my boyfriend's pretty good though. It's like, thank you, I didn't need that right now. That's not what I wanted to hear. So it is just a matter of how is that going over to the other person, because it's never going to be good. I don't think anyone would enjoy that. There might be like a handful of people who would be like, oh well, I just, after this experience, I need to find someone who, a group that has a proven good member track record. And like,
yeah, but you're not going to do that immediately. Like, you're going to wait a little while and then, you know, want to be super careful about the next group that you stan. I don't think someone's going to be like 5 minutes after finding out that Yosung is a bully is going to be like, man, I need a new group immediately. And oh, look, here's an article about TXT's Yeonjun.
It's a morning time.
Okay. So after you have considered, you've considered your audience, you consider timing, you do also need to consider the place that you are saying or posting the thing.
What we see a lot of is people are reacting to the new group they found. We just had this happen recently with Stray Kids, right? There was a reactor. I don't even know that they were a reactor. There was a person reacting to Stray Kids.
He was reacting to ATs.
Oh, he was reacting to ATs?
So he was reacting to ATs, and he was talking about how, if it's the same thing that I think you're talking about, it might not be, but there was a reactor who was reacting to ATs, and he was talking about how a lot of people told him that ATs sound just like Stray Kids. In like a lot of his like comment section. sections. And he was saying, y'all have to stop saying that. ATs and Stray Kids have two completely different sounds. He did not say one was better than the other. I want to make that very, very clear. He also really liked ATs. It was very obvious based on, you know, his the context of what he was saying. His point wasn't that, you know, Stray Kids is better than ATs or ATs is better than Stray Kids. His point was, you cannot tell a Stray Kids fan to listen to ATs because ATs sounds so much like Stray Kids. And vice versa. You can't tell an ATs fan to listen to Stray Kids because Stray Kids sounds like ATs, because they don't. They have two wildly different discographies. And that was his point. And then a lot of Stays, and it was primarily Stays because I read a lot of those quotes, a lot of Stays got up in there and were like, yeah, ATs leech off of Stray Kids music videos all the time, telling people to listen to flop tees and ad tees and all, you know, all the normal garbage that they say. And I'm like, they're right though. They're right in that if someone is listening to, is watching a Stray Kids, is doing a reaction to Stray Kids, if someone's like super into Stray Kids, like this is this new group that they found, that's all they want to talk about. Now's not the time to talk about ATs. What are you doing?
I was telling Bobby this before. When I got super into ATs and I wanted to come and gush about ATs, if I had done that and someone was like, oh, you should, if you like ATs, you'll probably like Stray Kids, you should check them out too, I would have been furious. That was not what I wanted. I wanted to gush about the group that I found and that I loved. Now, it take me out of that thing. Let's say it's been a couple of weeks. I come on, I'm like, oh, I love ATs so much, but I've listened to all their music now. Now I'm ready to listen to some more groups. Does anyone have recommendations for songs that are similar? Then is the time to come in and be like, oh, you should listen to Stray Kids if you like ATs. Even if I don't think that's true, like I don't think their music sounds similar at all. It's hard to find a group that I think sounds similar to ATs, but that's really besides the point. The point is that there would have been a time and place to give me that Stray Kids recommendation. And the place is not on this thing where I'm posting about how much I love ATs.
And a lot of, we've talked about, if you are watching a reactor and the reactor is reacting to TXT, unless the reactor asks, hey, let me know what other groups you want me to react to, you don't need to go into the comment section and be like, oh, if you like TXT, you need to listen to ATs. When's ATs? ATs next. Because all that does is it makes us look desperate. And we're not desperate for reactions, because I guarantee you we're not getting a lot of new ATs through reactors anyway. It's another one of those things, like, who is their audience? Reactors' audiences are primarily the fans of the groups that they are reacting to.
Right.
That's why you get a lot of fans with hurt feelings, like when a reactor starts listening to K-pop because of BTS, and then they will move on to, they'll start, they'll just react to a lot of BTS, and then they'll move on to different groups. Because I've seen ARMYs complaining about this in, you know, the comment sections of YouTube videos. They'll complain that, oh, well, this person used to only listen to BTS, but now they're trying to get other groups because they're trying to get bigger than they are now. And so you've got to consider that when they make those individual videos, they really are only targeting, unless they have their own fandom,
fan base,
the reactor does, like some of them do, and I think that's weird, but some of them do, but unless they have like their own fan base, they really are just appealing to the fan base of the group that they're reacting to, which is why largely a lot of the reactions that you see are like overly positive, because they want that fan base, they want views, that's what they're looking for.
Truthfully, I don't watch a lot of reactors.
I don't either anymore.
I don't find them very interesting, but if someone has a positive reaction to ATs, I will go watch only that reaction, and I don't watch anything else that they've done. So, you know, it's not bringing in new fans. Like if that reactor who reacted to ATs and in the comments someone was like, oh, do, I'm trying to think of a group that we haven't said today, do Enhypen next. I wouldn't watch that episode. Like I watched the ATs episode. That's the one I'm going to watch because that's the group I'm interested in. If I was maybe getting into Enhypen, maybe I would check it out. But that means the promo is already done, right? Like like I'm already getting into.
Yeah, you've already been promoted to.
So the idea that we could bring in any fans via reactors to me is really, unless those, like you said, those reactors themselves have fans, mm-hmm. I don't think it's happening.
If somebody is making like a post or a tweet, Twitter thread about, you know, mm-hmm. all the great things about, you know, their favorite group who is not ATs, we don't need you to bring up ATs. We don't mm-hmm. need you to do that. And this happened too at Coachella when people were bashing Le Sserafim after the first weekend.
Yeah.
So many ATs wanted to make it about ATs. And it's like, this is not about them. Like, right. I get that it was frustrating that it seems like all the attention was going to Le Sserafim. Like, there was all this negative attention on them. And mm-hmm. ATs were not getting a lot of attention because people, you know, and this kind of ties into what we'll talk about later, but people want the negative news. They want right. a controversy. They want to get in there and bash somebody. And there was nothing to bash ATs for. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get any of that negative attention. And so it felt like they weren't getting any attention at all because everybody was talking about Le Sserafim. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, if another group is getting bashed because their vocals are bad or whatever, mm-hmm. you don't need to get in there and be like, AT's safe. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating. Like, come on.
Yeah. Not only is it unlikely to attract new fans, mm-hmm. it's likely to turn them off.
Yeah.
If someone was talking bad about ATs and that situation was reversed, someone came in there like, oh, 17, safe. I'd be like, okay, I'm never going to listen to 17 mm-hmm. again. Thank you for that.
Because we're petty and bitter.
And I think most people are. Yes. I'm sorry. I think it's human nature mm-hmm. to react that way. If someone comes to me unasked and they recommend something to me mm-hmm. and they're just like, I've been listening to ATs lately. You should listen to ATs. They're so great. They're just, and then they go on and on about how much they love ATs. The only thing that would make me do if I hadn't heard of ATs is like, nope, I don't want to listen to ATs because I am like it. I do it with movies. If someone's really excited about a TV show, as soon as someone tells me that I have to watch this TV show, I'm just like, I will never watch that TV show. But if someone comes at me and they're like, I was watching this TV show and I thought of you, I think you would really like it for blank, blank, and blank reason, mm-hmm. I'm much more likely to want to watch that TV show because now they've told me why I would like it. So if someone came to me and they're like, I think you would really like ATs because this is your favorite song and it has this element and ATs has a lot of belting mm-hmm. in it with a really anthemic sound and it, you know, sounds very video game like, so I think it would be perfect for you. Mm-hmm. If they came to me with reasons why they think I personally would like it, I am much more likely to check it out. And there's several things in that, right? You have to know the audience. You have to know the person that you're talking to. What is the thing that they like? Mm-hmm. If this reactor is reacting to Stray Kids, what is it about Stray Kids that they like? And is that thing also in ATs? Mm-hmm. And if it is there a correct time where you could make that recommendation? And it will not be at the height of their Stray Kids excitement. Mm-hmm. It will be, you know, after they've fully explored Stray Kids discography and now they're ready to move on to and listen to more things, get a broader perspective of K-pop. And then you come in with specifics like ATs, two of their members also write all of their lyrics, the rappers, and they have, I don't even know enough about Stray Kids music to do this, but they have very good rappers mm-hmm. and they also have a tendency towards bombastic sounds mm-hmm. in their title tracks. If you can like pick out those specific things that person likes, if the thing that they like about Stray Kids is they like that Felix has freckles, like I don't know that you can come in
right we've got nothing.
Oh, but you should listen to ATs too. It's like, why? There's no Felix in ATs.
Jungle's got a neck mole. You into that? You like spots on people? Is that your deal?
A part of the reason that I love ATs is songs, and this is a personal thing. This isn't why everyone loves ATs, but I love like a powerful belt. Mm-hmm. I love a powerful high note belt towards the end of the song. ATs gives me that in almost every song. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jungho.
I have said this this about Edenary before, but they write music that has a destination. They are taking us mm-hmm. somewhere with this song. Mm-hmm. And it is to Jungo's belt at the end of the song. That is, it is, the song is built around this one dramatic moment. And then that last mm-hmm. 30 seconds of, you know, catharsis after that dramatic mm-hmm. moment, that is AT's music. It's dramatic. It's very dramatic.
Right. I read a Reddit post this morning that pissed me off because we were researching for this episode specifically. Mm-hmm. And the Reddit post said, AT should work with new producers because I'm so tired of the powerful last 30 seconds. And I was like, well, that's the part that I love the most about AT's songs. Like, it's nice that you're tired of something, but that is the part that I love. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to recommend a group to me, that would be the way to do it. Be like, oh, you should listen to One Week because they have a very powerful vocalist. And in the last 30 seconds, they really, you know, bring that song home. Mm. And I could be like, oh, okay. And I actually do really like One Way for that reason. So, you know, you have to find the thing that person is excited about that group. I love ATs for a lot of reasons, but that is one of the big ones. Mm.
So sometimes people want to try to get really deep on Twitter. And it's like, listen, you don't have the space to be able to really, this thought cannot breathe on Twitter because of the limitations. Mm-hmm. Go for a longer form and just link to it. I know that people hate clicking a link because it's so much work, but I feel like a lot of good thoughts and ideas are lost when you try to condense them into the Twitter format versus just, you know, making a blog. We did it. We're not that smart, so you can do it too.
I saw someone the other day that was talking about, I think it was on Book Talk, where they were talking about how long the paragraph was. Ugh. They weren't going to read that paragraph because it was that long.
Idiots.
But in some ways, I agree with them, and I'm going to tell you why. When I see a long paragraph on Twitter, because, you know, some people pay mm-hmm. to have extra space, mm-hmm. the formatting is such that I'm like, I am not going to read that.
Right.
But if you have a blog where you can put in, like, there is a way to write. There is a correct way to write. Mm-hmm. And usually in this type of stuff, it involves topic sentences. Mm. You need topic sentences. You need reasons. Like, there is a way to write that makes it so that it is enjoyable for others to read. Mm-hmm. And you cannot do it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Cassandra and I have talked a lot because we're group order managers and, you know, a lot of people get Dwyers in this community. That means deal with at your own risk. She'll send me this very long Dwyer and she's like, well, if we ever get a Dwyer about us, the good news is I won't be able to read it. Because they're always formatted in such a way that I read all the time. I love reading. Mm-hmm. I look at some of these Dwyers and I'm like, I can't read that. I can't understand that. I don't know what that person's trying to say.
Yeah, you sent a couple in our group chat the mm-hmm. other day. And I, of course, I'm like, I love some drama. Let me get in on this. Even though I have nothing to do with anything that's happening. So I go and read it and one of my biggest beefs with Instagram, and maybe this is because I am getting old, but you can't, when you try to zoom into a photo, Instagram will not let you hold that zoom. You have to have your fingers on the screen.
Right.
And then if you let go, it pops back to its original size. Like, I'm sorry, why can't we fix this? I'm trying to look at a detail here. So you sent those couple of Instagram posts. I always thought mm-hmm. it was Dwayer. I guess I've been pronouncing
Could
it
be.
Wrong. Who knows?
No, I've never heard it pronounced that loud. So it's whatever it is.
It's whatever you want it to be. Anyway, so you sent it to me and it was these screenshots of group chats with like two columns of group chats mm-hmm. next to each other. And I'm like, I can't read any of this.
Right now.
And I'm trying to follow the narrative of this drama that went down. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel stupid because I cannot follow along with the logic of mm-hmm. who's talking and what are they talking about and what does mm-hmm. this have to do with anything. So it was, and I'm like, I wish this were in a different format. Instagram is not a format for words. It's a format for pictures. A picture of words is still words, you know?
I see it on Twitter threads too when there's like these expose threads. Sometimes I'll send them to you and be like, I've read this thread. I have no idea mm-hmm. what this person did. did wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand what this person, the person who's tweeting, is mad about. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the other party did. They may have done something heinous, yeah. but I cannot parse it from this Twitter thread. And then I'll, like, read the comments, and they're like, oh my god, OP, so sorry this happened to you. Sorry, not, they don't use OP on Twitter. Moot. I'm so sorry this happened to you. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe there are people out there like that. And I'm reading those, like,
what?
How did they discern what happened?
What language are you speaking that I don't understand? Because, like, I know English. I can read
English. And I read a lot.
But this, I am just not. I know that there was one where somebody was, it was about Kim Woo Jin, mm-hmm. who you famously are a fan of.
I do love him.
And it was about
his music. I know nothing about him.
We know nothing about him as a person. I like several of his songs. I think his voice is lovely. It was about how we know that accusations against him were false.
And so it's something I might be interested in.
Well, you would not be able to understand this. At all. Because it went into, like, the history of the person who made the accusation, and I have never been more baffled by anything that I have tried to read in my entire life, because I couldn't follow it. I was like, right. I don't know. There were, like, screenshots of conversations, and mm-hmm. they're talking about all of these histories, and I'm like, I don't know what any of this means, and how any of this means that the random girl who made that accusation against Kim Woo Jin suspiciously right after he had left Stray Kids, how that proves that that was false. Like, I didn't get mm-hmm. any of it.
The thing that I think people forget about screenshots of conversations, mm-hmm. conversations are contextual.
Yes.
They build off of each other. If you give me a screenshot outside of the context and you have not provided that context in a way that I can understand, I won't be able to follow the screenshots. I just won't.
So, well, I think what we're saying is that if you're trying to make a big argument, you're putting it on Twitter is not going to work out for you, because I think a lot of people just sort of assume that they know what it means, and they're like, oh, this is my mood, so they obviously must be right, so I'll just say that I feel bad for them, even though nobody understands what's happening.
I love when someone tags me and they're like, hey, you follow. And it's like, well, I've read this thread. I don't understand what they did. So I guess I'll just continue to follow. Yeah. Unless they show me some reason to not. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't understand what all of y'all are upset about.
Yeah, they do that all the time, where they're, you know, warning about a user, and it's a bunch of screenshots, mm-hmm. and it's a bunch of screenshots of, like, the profile.
Yeah.
And with, like, arrows and circles and stuff. And I'm like, right, uh-huh. okay. This means something to somebody, I'm sure, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Uh-huh. Like, this perhaps is their alternate account. Old. And it's like, how do you know this is their alternate account? Like, right. Where are you getting this information? It's mm-hmm. like so many things on the internet where people can just say whatever and say that it's true and say that this is proof of a thing, but they don't actually have proof of the thing.
Well, we've talked about audience, timing, and place, mm-hmm. our where, when, and who.
And a little bit of the how. Also, we talked
how
a little bit
and
of
what?
That,
yeah. mm-hmm. The whole series of
we
questions.
We answered all the questions. So now we want to talk about things you want to avoid, which we've also kind of touched on, because this whole conversation is all sort of jumbled together.
Well, all of these things relate to each other. Yeah. We're trying to break them into pieces for, you know, ease, but in reality, it is a big picture. Mm-hmm. So our first one mm-hmm. is one that Bobby mentioned earlier, and it is about your point of view or your thesis statement. Mm-hmm. I think I've said this on the podcast, but I think also it's been cut, so I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. I have never forgiven the writers of Game of Thrones for an interview they gave where they said thesis and themes are for 8th grade English projects.
Okay, you never said that on the podcast.
Good. I don't have to cut
But
this.
Now you have.
Now I have. I have never mm-hmm. forgiven them for that. And you can see that in their show. Mm-hmm. It is largely agreed that the Game of Thrones television show, the last season, was bad. And that is because the authors didn't have anything to say. Mm-hmm. That is what your thesis and your theme is. It is what you are trying to say. And if you are not saying anything, then you are wasting everyone's time. Right. And they will resent that.
Your thesis mm-hmm. needs to be specific. So, like, if yes. we go back to that Koreaboo article mm-hmm. about how great Jung-ho is, mm-hmm. their
and
thesis...
And we love Jung-ho.
Yeah,
we
love Jung-ho. We agree with everything that they said. Our problem with that article is that your thesis can't be Jung-ho is great. One, because your thesis statement needs to be something that is arguable. It needs to be something that requires defense. Because that's the whole mm-hmm. purpose of you writing is to defend right. this thesis. That Jung-ho is great is not arguable mm-hmm. because it's just a fact, right?
If you don't have anything to say, why are you saying it?
Yeah.
We talked about this in our planning. It's like the how-to articles. If I wanted to learn how to do something, I might read a how-to article. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to me if I didn't know how to do it.
Right.
But you don't write a how-to article on something that everybody knows how to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to write a how-to article on how to turn a doorknob because everyone knows how to do that. You just turn it, right? Mm-hmm. No one needs that. But if I wanted to write a how-to article on how to install a doorknob, that's an article. That's something that people might need or want. So, like, and that goes back to audience. Like, mm-hmm. is there someone who needs this? And that does come from your thesis statement. Mm-hmm. Who is your thesis statement directed to?
Right.
I wrote a Jung-ho appreciation article once, and it was about Jung-ho being like the CEO of KQ. Mm-hmm.
See, but that's what I'm saying, is you had a specific thesis statement, and it wasn't just hearing mm-hmm. all the great things about Jung-ho. You had something specific that you were trying to say about him, and you were using the Jung-ho is a secret CEO. That mm-hmm. was like your point of view. That was like the hook or the angle that you were coming at it from.
Right. And, you know, I'm not going to say that that was the best article ever written, but it did have something to say that other people weren't already saying, mm-hmm. which I think is what you need in an article. You cannot, with any interest, as a normal person, like just a normal person off the street, write an article about what a great singer Jung-ho is. Mm. You just can't do it because everyone knows it. Like, there are people who disagree, but your article is not going to convince them otherwise.
Well, so, this kind of touches on the next point, which is your own authority. Like, what authority mm-hmm. do you have to speak on this topic? That was one of my major beefs with a lot of people on Reddit, was they would roll mm-hmm. up and act like they knew all of this stuff about music theory and production or promotion, and they would have mm-hmm. no credentials because everybody on Reddit is anonymous. So mm-hmm. you could act, and they do this on Twitter too, you can act like you are an expert on this thing and mm-hmm. then say that, oh, well, actually, you know, I am an expert, you know, I have taken music lessons and I'm an expert on musicality or whatever, and actually Felix is a better vocalist than Jung-ho. Any rando can get on Twitter and say that and pretend like they've got credentials, but they don't. So if you mm-hmm. are going to get on Twitter and say something, you have to have some sort of authority behind you to say that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some things that any rando can say and it can be true and great and fine. You can get on Twitter and you can say that The Real is ATEEZ's best music video. Anybody mm-hmm. can say that. That's fine. That's an opinion-based thing. You don't have to be an mm-hmm. expert on anything to say that The Real is the best music video. But if you're going to say something about, you know, Jung-ho's technique or San's dance technique or their mm-hmm. the company's promotions, you need to have some sort of authority behind what you were saying.
I was thinking, when we were talking about point of view, it kind of relates to this, because I don't think either of us are saying that if you're not an authority on certain things, mm-hmm. you can never try to promote ATEEZ. You just need to figure out what it is that you can bring a unique point of view to. Mm. I think I've also written an article, I think about Yosang, about how he's like the person I want to be, how I strive to be. And then I could talk about myself, like my personal failings, and how Yosang like teaches me how to make those better. That's a very personal article that does promote Yosang. Mm-hmm. And it promotes him in a way that only I can do. So I am the correct person to write it because I'm talking specifically about myself. Mm-hmm. That's a very hard thing to do. I'm not saying that we should all be out there doing that, because it's actually really hard to write those types of like personal narratives. But I think if you are looking for your way in, your hook, and you're not an authority, you don't have some sort of expertise in an area, I think that's a good way to do it. And honestly, I think the expertise expertise even is overrated. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice when an expert comes in and is like, yeah, ATs, vocals are so good, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's always nice mm-hmm. to hear as an ATini. But let's say that the same expert comes in and they're like, NCT Dream has such great vocals. These are the reasons those vocals are so good. I don't care. Like, right. I'm not going to listen to NCT Dream because of that.
Mm-hmm. I think what I am trying to say is that if you are going to criticize something mm-hmm. or you're going to try to speak knowledgeably about something, like you're going to try to give details, yeah. like technical details, that you need to know mm-hmm. what you're talking about. Like, a lot of ATs complain about the use of autotune in ATs' songs.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh so hard.
And a lot of what they're complaining about isn't actually auto-tune. Mm-hmm. It's like a completely different thing. But I'm not an expert on that, so I'm not going to get in there and like try to talk about that. But I'm also not, you know, writing posts about ATs needs to stop using auto-tune. I can say I don't like it. I don't like the way that it sounds. That's fine, because I'm an expert on my own opinion.
Right.
But if I'm going to write about, you know, the actual production aspects, I'm not, like, I wouldn't write about the actual production aspects because I'm not an authority on that. I don't know what I'm talking about. But this, we had kind of an example with this. So in the Break the Wall tour, uh-huh. and this kind of leads into some other things, but in the Break the Wall tour, the tour started in Oakland, and there was a review written of the concert directly after the tour that at first ATs were just sharing without really reading it and without really understanding what the article was saying. And then they started getting super, super mad and trying to ratio this author, this journalist, who I guarantee he did not write about ATs this time.
No.
He will probably never write about ATs ever again. His opinion mm-hmm. about ATs has probably been set in stone largely due to the way that the fandom behaved about this article after it came mm-hmm. out. But, so the article was on Riff, was written by Roman Gokman, I'm not really sure. Most of it, I think, is actually fairly benign. Like, yeah. a lot of it is just facts. A lot of it is just things that he observes as he's in the concert. He doesn't mm-hmm. seem to have any sort of understanding of who ATs are, like what their normal sound is. He's going in completely blind. That's pretty obvious, especially because in the second paragraph of this article, he says, unlike recent K-pop acts who've played the venue like Seventeen and Stray Kids, ATs' persona lay mostly in the rap realm.
And that's like his main takeaway. Which is wild.
So he follows up this point with the fact that he's head over heels for Mingi, which, I mean, who mm-hmm. wouldn't be, obviously, but he says,
right.
while most of the group had opportunities to show off their abilities, I don't know what that means, rapper Song Mingi shined brightest with his heavy gravel-edged baritone. Mingi, as he's known to fans, had a rapping voice that might fit right in the horrorcore genre, and when he was delivering his lines, people took notice. Mingi is, for anyone who has seen ATs Live, you know mm-hmm. Mingi is an absolute powerhouse when it comes yes. to live performance. Like, I feel like he yes. thrives on stage mm-hmm. so much. I don't know that I would say that he thrives more than other people do, but he feels so particularly at home on stage right. that I can see how this man who doesn't really know much about ATs would sort of latch onto him, and that's going to color all the rest of his perception of what is happening that night.
Right.
Because if the only thing you remember from an ATs concert is Mingi.
Yeah, that's rap heavy.
That is rap heavy. Yeah, you nailed it. Good job, guy. However, he does become, he adds in weird things that like don't make sense for them to be mm-hmm. there. First of all, he says, he makes a point that the show wasn't sold out. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Great.
I do think it was sold out this time, so take that, Break the Wall reviewer.
He specifically brings up, he says, the mood of the show was joyous when the group, which includes singers and rappers Hong Jun Sung-hwa, Yuno, Yosung San, Woo Young, and Jung Oh, he doesn't mention Mingi here, and a lot of ATs took issue with that. When I think the reason he doesn't mention Mingi is because he wrote like a whole love letter to him a couple paragraphs ago. So he's like, well, y'all already know that I know that Minky is here, so I don't need to put him in a list. Which I'm like, that is one of my points, is that ACs tend to get mad about stupid things instead of getting mad about the real things they should get upset about.
Right.
Because he says they made no mention of South Korea's October 29th crowd surge tragedy where 156 people died and more were injured. Sir, what does that have to do with anything?
Why would they?
Why would they? They're in America. He does, and it makes me wonder, like, was he saying that so that he could bring up the fact that they had donated 100 million won to relief efforts? Because that's what he says. He says the group had donated 100 million won, about $71,000, to relief efforts, however.
I mean, maybe.
The way that he phrases it sounds like he is condemning the fact that they didn't bring up this tragedy that had nothing to do with them and nothing to do with their audience. But then he tries to mollify us by saying, oh, but they did donate money afterwards.
Well, that's the thing about writing. He could have written that in a different way that mm-hmm. would have made it sound praiseworthy. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have said, while they didn't mention the tragedy, they did do this. Like, mm-hmm. what you leave, how you phrase things, mm-hmm. you know, this is all about dependent and independent clauses, which right. we're not going to get into. No. But sentence structure does play an important role in your argument and how people take away mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Right. He talks about KQ felt the babies being there before they were Zykers
mm-hmm.
and is very dismissive of them. He states facts about them and then says, luckily, it wasn't more than 10 minutes before the evening's headliners took the stage. So I find that a little bit offensive.
I would too.
I'd like, okay, sure.
I have a lot of questions. Like, he's a Western journalist. Like, opening acts are pretty common, well, and they're usually like 30 minutes. So.
He says that. He says that if this was a rock concert, attendees would likely have shrugged off an unknown opening act. But the fans in the building went wild for KQ Fellas too. Luckily, it wasn't more than 10 minutes before the evening's headliners took the stage. So it's like, I'm sorry, what exactly are you saying here? Because you're saying that everybody liked them, but that it was lucky that ATs came and saved us after only 10 minutes. Like, what are you saying?
I just have a lot of questions. Because I've been to concerts where there was an opening act, and most people are really excited for an opening act. I mean, not as excited right. for, like, the main event, but, like...
That's the whole point. They're all there to have a good time.
Yeah.
So then, and this, to me, I think is, like, the final nail in the coffin, but his most... Maybe, I don't know if it's his most egregious error, but a stupid thing he included in this article. He says, judging by this performance, the group is still figuring some things out about its music and performance.
Mm-hmm.
What? And I don't even know how to parse that. I don't know what he's saying.
What I will say, to this man's credit, that I didn't give him at the time, but I will give it to him right now in mm-hmm. this podcast for all to hear. Mm-hmm. This was their first show mm-hmm. of that concert, and they did have technical difficulties with the opening act. Like, the light sticks didn't work, and some of the other technical stuff, like, didn't work in the first show of the Break the Wall
But that's
tour.
Not what he says here.
He says, still figuring some things out about
its
their
music and performance.
I'm skipping over music. So it could be, like, the performance thing could be about some of those technical difficulties. I'll mm-hmm. give it, that is my very kind interpretation of it. I don't think it is, but it could be about that.
Right. Well, if that is what it is supposed to be, then that is what he should have said.
Yes.
Which I guess maybe this is just extra advice. Say the thing that you are trying to say.
Uh-huh.
Like, make sure it's very, very clear what you are trying to say. The rest of it is fine. He does talk about how when ATs talks, that brings the show to a grinding halt, as though no other artist has ever spoken in their concert before. He gives them credit for speaking English until the end of the show, but he says that it was hard to understand them because they talked over each other. What?
Okay, they didn't talk over each other. It was hard to understand them because ATeenies like to have bad concert etiquette where they yell members' names while other members are talking. Mm. That has nothing to do with ATs.
Right. For context, Rachel was at this concert.
Yes, I was at this concert.
Mm-hmm. Is this the one where he says that ATeenies didn't like... Oh, here it is.
No, he said... He must have changed this article because mm-hmm. it used to say that they didn't like Cyberpunk, but now it says that it got the highest, like, the loudest cheers of the night.
Yeah, the group saved one of its biggest party songs for the end and likes the hyperactive Say My Name, on which the octet demonstrated its best mix of singing, rapping, dancing at the same time. Rocky, tempo-changing Wonderland, and industrial-sounding Cyberpunk, which included vocals that followed a descending scale and a choreographed chair dance after which all eight members misspelled were glistening with sweat. By this point, several costume changes in the group was dressed in black tactical gear. It got the loudest shrieks of the night.
That is not how that
because I remember him saying that because I asked you about it. I remember because he said that, you know, people didn't like it because they got really quiet, and you said it was because everybody pulled out their phones so that they could record, because we knew what to expect with cyberpunk because they'd already done the Soul concerts.
So that has been changed for sure, because I thought the same thing. I was like, no, I remember this specifically because I talked about it with other people. Mm-hmm. It was like, because Cassandra was at that concert with me, and her and I talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was a different, like, I'm almost positive there weren't two bad reviews that came out of Oakland. No, there was just the one.
There was just this one. And it's not even a bad review. That's the thing.
It's not.
It's not a bad review. It is an overwhelmingly nothing review. Mm-hmm. That isn't actually a review, because I don't feel like I have any idea whether this man enjoyed this concert or not.
Right.
And I feel like
this man was paid to go to this concert.
He was paid to go to this concert. The only thing he took out of it was Mingy, which is fine. That's fine. He has a glowing review of Mingy, and Mingy deserves all the glowing reviews. But if I were not sure if I wanted to go to an ATEEZ concert and I read this article, I would leave this article still feeling not sure if I wanted to go to an ATEEZ concert, because he doesn't say anything. Like, he doesn't actually give any sort of opinion. I don't know. And it's hard to say, because I feel like he has a lot more friendlier feelings towards the other groups that he has reviewed, because I, you know, I went and read a couple other of his articles to try to figure out like what his vibe is. And he has really friendly, overwhelmingly positive reviews for these other groups. I only read two. I only went Run for NCT Dream and Idol. But I also am coming away feeling like I'm not really sure. I don't know whether that would be a concert I would want to go to or not. So I don't know. But I have said before, touching on that expertise thing, I've said before that I don't know why a critic has a more valuable opinion than a fan does. I don't know why. And so I can look at this man's article and I can say, well, that he's got some weird stuff in there. I don't think he really knows what he's talking about, and then move on with my life. Kind of touching on our next point, though, some ATEEZ did not do that. They were not able to just say, oh, this man doesn't matter, let's move on with our lives. And they really reacted very strongly. They got in the comments of this article and had some things to say. And he kind of was defending himself, which that's not a great look for him.
No.
But also a lot of the ATEEZ didn't really have any real reasons to dislike the article. Like, when they are arguing about it, they don't have anything concrete that they are upset about. They're just like, this is unprofessional and you need to do more research. And like, what does that mean? Like, you are also being vague.
I have some thoughts on the you need to do additional research crowd, and I've shared this before on Twitter. I think I've written blog posts about it, but these journalists, and not this guy specifically, but just in general, if we want to call them all journalists, they do not get paid to do research unless they are doing like a big piece, like, you know, like the GQ one or the big Vogue piece. Like, unless they are doing a headlining article for the site in which, you know, they have interviews with ATEEZ, they're not getting paid to do research. This guy probably got sent to the concert and probably got somewhere between $50 and $100 for this article. Which isn't a lot for the amount of time that it took him to go to the concert and then write the article. Not that I think he devoted a lot of time to it, but it's just, writing on the internet is not a highly paid gig. So when you're asking these writers to do additional research, they weren't paid to do that, and they're not going to. And you're just gonna have to get over that. Like, because they're not fans of the group. They're doing their job. And yeah, you might argue, well, research for an article like this is the bare minimum. It's not. The bare minimum is what this guy did.
Yeah. He showed
and
up.
He got paid.
And he wrote the article. He got a free concert out of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
And, like, it's not as, like, it's not an absolute takedown, right? Like, this man just put some stuff in the entertainment section of this magazine, right? They probably need some K-pop pieces to keep relevant. So, he just wasn't paid to do that research. And research in that way is not actually the bare minimum. That would be above and beyond.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really do feel that, by and large, like, if if the correct response to that article would have just been nothing.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need to lash out at this man. We especially did not need to lash out at him because he didn't have Mingy in that list of names when he had already written a whole paragraph about Mingy. And I do remember him saying that was one of his responses. What are you talking about? Mingy was like the best performer that night.
Mingy was the only person at that concert that I cared about.
Yeah, literally. But Aitani's like, that was the one thing that they all wanted to talk about. And like, nobody talked about the fact that it was so weird for him to bring up the Itaewon incident.
Well, that was the research that he did, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he typed in AT's Korea.
Mm-hmm. And it brought up their concert.
Article, mm-hmm. And that article where they had donated money, what he didn't do was listen to their discography, mm-hmm. look at their promo stuff, find out their current title track. Mm-hmm. What he did was he Googled AT's Korea, and this was what was in the news, mm-hmm. because AT's had that concert on the night after this, and they donated the proceeds to charity. Mm-hmm. So that is the research that he did.
Yeah. There it is. It's right there. And then people are talking about, you know, that the problem was it was really xenophobic. It feels a little bit that way. It feels like not like microaggressions, because that's a different thing, but like mm-hmm. there does feel like some mild xenophobia in there. The fact that he brings up that they speak English, mm-hmm. like, how is that relevant to anything? But it does feel overall that he didn't have a great time at this concert unless Mingy was happening.
Right.
So.
And then he seemed to really love it.
Yeah. As long as it was Mingy, then he was good to go. But he did want Mingy to leave the group and be on a different genre, is what he seems to insinuate. But like, what I'm saying here is that the correct response to this was not to get all up in his DMs and to go make mm-hmm. comments on the article. By making comments on the article, you are driving up the numbers and, mm-hmm. you know, he's getting more clicks, more views. And an article like this that really doesn't have very much, it's overall very benign, but doesn't really have very much mm-hmm. to say, doesn't really deserve those views and those clicks. So the correct response would have just been nothing. You nothing the article.
I've talked before about when I got canceled by the Super Hulocks, but mm-hmm. I think I only wrote about it, so I don't know that I've talked about it here. Well, that was one of my highest paid articles because all of the Super Hulocks were clicking into that article to see what I had said. So I did get paid a lot for that article, a lot more than I normally would. And also, I have never watched or wanted to watch Supernatural or Doctor Who after that happened. Mm. Like, and I used to be fans of those shows. Like, I'd seen all the episodes. But after that, I wanted nothing to do with it. Mm. So I do think you have to be careful when you are attacking these people, because he might have written a mostly benign article about AT's this time, but what if next time he'd gone back and he, you know, AT's actually took his advice. They took all of the talking bits out. Mm-hmm. The show flowed incredibly. There was a lot of consistency in the music. They really told a story. So perhaps if this guy had gone back, he would have had a lot of praise to mm-hmm. say and would have become a fan. We don't need him. It's not a huge loss that right. he's not there, but it is something to keep in mind for like other people, other mm-hmm. writers.
I also really feel like it kind of shows a lack of respect for people, the way that Aitani's will just like dogpile on people and about, you know, whatever benign thing that they say about ATs that they just don't agree with. But I also feel like this applies to when you are writing something in response to, I don't know. Okay, so I feel like there are two different ways to kind of go about this. When you are, one of the most hilarious things that Aitani's do on Twitter is when, you know, some, you know, other fandom will say some sort of stupid garbage about ATs and Aitani's will just turn it into like a joke. That, I think, is, you know, like I'm thinking of, you know, when Stray Kids had like 3 seconds of a pirate concept in one of their recent music videos. And Aitani's kind of made a joke out of it and were posting, you know, pictures of, you know, one of the boys as babies being in like sailor getup and also talking about, you know, AT's being the founding fathers of music as a whole and all of it. Like the way that they'll turn things into just a joke, into like a meme, that I mm-hmm. think is fine and it's fun. And I'm sure the other fandoms find it annoying, but at least they're doing it in like good humor. They're not saying anything bad about any other groups. And I think that's the best way to handle things like that.
Like with that specifically, that's not going to bring any other stays to our fandom.
No,
them, right? But like a Moa might be like, oh, that's really charming. Mm-hmm. Like someone who doesn't like Stray Kids but likes a different group might see that and think it's funny, mm-hmm. and like be interested in what A-teenies are up to.
Right.
So, you know, it's not bringing in stays, but it genuinely could make someone interested.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would argue stays aren't the audience for that. That this right. was really something that's just for other A-teenies, but other fandoms might, you know, see other fandoms who have also been attacked by stays, rabid stays uh-huh. going nuts on Twitter, might, you know, commiserate and be like, oh man, I wish we had handled it like that, or let's use that next time stays are coming after us or whatever. Which is not to say that we've never had beef with other fandoms. We obviously have. But, like, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be, like, picking on stays. But also, stays are a big fandom. And so, they can handle it. They're fine. But, like, we just don't need to get all defensive about literally everything. Mm-hmm. You know?
Lack of reading comprehension goes into that. Mm-hmm. Because I think the lack of reading comprehension leads to defensiveness, mm-hmm. right? Like, if we don't understand exactly what's being said. Like, I think it's a lack of reading comprehension that got people to target that man for not mentioning Mingi.
Right.
When... he clearly did mention Mingi.
He did. He very much mentioned Mingi. Mentioned him so much.
I sent Bobby a tweet the other day that was like, this article praised Woo Young for...
the way he covers girl groups.
Yeah, the way he covered girl groups dances. He never masculinizes them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a word, but... but it, so it was like, this article praised Woo Young. The article didn't praise Woo Young. It didn't even say that about Woo Young. The only thing that it said about Woo Young was that he was friends with Changbin.
Who was getting praised for...
Right.
So they totally, like, I don't know, did they just, like, not read it? They just see Woo Young's name and jump the gun? But I'm like, if a stay sees this, they're going to have a fit. Because right. you are literally stealing praise that is for Changbin and trying to give it to Woo Young because you don't know how to read.
And this also goes back to when people were just kind of blindly retweeting this. Mm-hmm. Just because... someone mentions ATs does not mean that they are praising ATs mm-hmm. or that they deserve any attention for that mention of ATs.
This actually kind of drives me crazy. You know, any people will like retweet and make a big deal anytime any like other idol mentions ATs. Like, yes. Oh, Le Sserafim danced to Bouncy. And then they show the clip of Le Sserafim dancing to Bouncy. And I use the term dancing so loosely because they were just like doing the little like this. Just a uh-huh. smidge. Or I think Changbin did it in a Stray Kids concert. He did like a, somebody yeah. was trying to get him to do Bouncy and he just did like the hand motions or something. And people like lost their, oh, my Stay Teeny crumbs. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's real crumbs.
Yeah, can we stop acting like we're absolutely starving for praise? Because a lot of people are saying real things about ATs. A lot of like industry professionals are saying right. good things about ATs. We don't need to act like another idol just being aware that they exist is like a big deal.
It's sort of like offensive. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it other than to say that it offends me that we act like another more famous group mentioning ATs is a good thing. Mm.
Although I will say, here's what I will say, because I was telling Rachel this earlier that one of the reasons that I got into Dreamcatcher was because I saw a clip of Shion from Dreamcatcher. All she was saying was somebody was asking her who was her favorite group recently and she says ATs, and that was it. She didn't say anything about them. It was just somebody asked her the questions. She's like, oh, ATJ. And so I was like, oh, Dreamcatcher, who's this? And so I go and I'm looking up Dreamcatcher. It turns out I love their music. No surprise, because a lot of Edenary people produce their music. So that is what got me connected to Dreamcatcher, was because they said something really nice about, well, they didn't even really say anything really nice about ATJ. It did not take much to get me there. But I checked them out because I knew that they appreciated ATs, but this was back in like 2020 when you didn't see a lot of ATs appreciation.
One of the first things that I did get that started me down an ATs path, like most of it was their music, but I do remember being on a Reddit thread where someone was like, what is the most impressive like dance practice you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And someone linked Hala Hala in there. And I watched that and I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Mm. So I do think if you can, if you can drop something like that on a vague post like that, a lot of times now, if I look at those things though, I just upvote the AT's ones and move on with my life, right? Like it has to come when I'm like ready for it, when the time is right. It's so much about timing, but like that's not a timing other people can predict.
I just think that you need to be very purposeful. Like if you're really trying to promote ATs, like if that's your goal in being on social media is to promote ATs, and I think that's a fine goal, that's great. I don't think anybody has to do that. But like if that is what you want, you have to be so thoughtful about the content that you're sharing and the when that you're sharing it and, you know, who you're sharing it with, and just being very mindful of that, because you just never know who's going to bump into your tweet and who might be affected by it. Because it can go either way depending on, you know, what your circumstances are.
You said that we need to be really mindful about how we're doing it if we're going to do it. A lot of the things that ATs do, and you kind of mentioned this too, is that they'll turn things into a joke, like a fandom joke. For a long, long time, there was a fandom joke about Songhwa being ATs' mother, and then there was Songhwa being mother, so you know, like two different things but related, and like that was really connected to Songhwa. That was what people knew. He was the mom of the group, or Songhwa was mother. Like that was what people were talking about when it came to Songhwa, because the fandom had turned this into such a pervasive thing that they talked about and shared all of the tweets, all of the edits, all of the videos. Like those added up, and then once there was enough of it that if you searched ATs, that's what you saw, and then reporters started writing it. And then ATs didn't like it anymore. And I think, you know, what we put out there is what reporters are going to pick up, because they're not going to be doing a ton of research. So what's there for them to see, that's what they're going to see. This also reminds me of another, the Yosong Doberman
I was thing. Just thinking about that. Because it was the same problem where Yosong's been trying to be a Doberman forever. Like, that's just been his thing. He's got this sweet little angel baby face. He's so precious and perfect. But he wants that tough boy persona, I think. And I do think that it is still kind of a joke with him, but I do also feel like he wants to be, that wanting to be more like a Doberman is him wanting to be taken more seriously.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that ATs have taken him very seriously, because he does have a very feminine kind of face. He is just so beautiful. And he is also a little silly, and he's a little, I don't want to say airheaded, that's not the word that I'm looking for, but kind of, you know how Hong Jun talks about how he's difficult to parent?
Yeah.
Like that. Like, he's not being rebellious. He's just, he needs a lot of care, which is why he's got that one manager, daddy manager that is taking care of him at all times. And also of Zyker's as well. Rachel sent me a little clip of him taking care of one of the babies. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is just the most precious. But ATs have long had a joke that Yosong is, what is a Maltese? That he's, he'll say, and I'm Doberman. And ATs is like, no. And ATs also has that joke with him as well, that he's
right, and they're saying this to Yosong's face. And like, it's prevalent on social media, why Yosong is a Maltese instead of a Doberman. Like, this was for years, this has been such a huge thing.
That's the thing, it had been going on for a really long time. And so when ANATEEZ happens, and Yosong is a Maltese in ANATEEZ, famously. I believe he went on a live, and he was kind of, you know, doing that thing that he does where he's, you know, kind of complaining. And he was like, why am I Maltese? He said that he wanted to be a Doberman, and he had told them multiple times, and that the staff had said, but ATs really like the Maltese. That's what they always say they want you to be, which is true. That is what they have always said. But ATs got really mad because they're like, oh, it was just a joke. How come they didn't get it? They should have given him whatever he wanted. And like, the thing is, they have to make money. And if they are concerned that if they make a thing that their fandom isn't going to like,
right,
they won't make money off of that thing. And it would be an embarrassment if they had to redesign something because it wasn't selling because the fandom didn't like it. Yosong's Het Monkey sells really well. People love the Het Monkey. He's beautiful and precious.
It's cute. It's so, like, that was the one that my son wanted. Mm-hmm. Because it was so cute.
Yeah, he is very, very cute. So, but that's the thing. It's like, okay, if y'all can't, you can't have it both ways. You can't have this fandom joke where Yosung's not allowed to be a Doberman. He has to be a Maltese. And then expect the company to understand it is just a joke. And, you know, we would buy a Doberman if they gave us a Doberman. I do think we would have bought a Doberman if they had given us a Doberman. I think the fandom would have loved it.
So be careful what you're putting out there. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to promote them in a certain way, like, think about the ramifications of that. So we had talked about, there was a Sanghwa mention. I mean, it was an ATEEZ article, so Sanghwa was just mentioned in the article as being the mom of the group. And
it, to be clear, it was kind of a nothing article anyway. Yeah. It didn't say anything. Like, it wasn't new information. It wasn't based on anything.
It wasn't an interview.
It was just like, it reminded me of just like a blog post where somebody was just here talking about ATEEZ.
There's no way that the author of it was paid more than $15 to write it. Mm-hmm. And they put that Sanghwa was the mom of the group and ATEEZ, well, Sanghwa stans specifically, lost their shit about it. Mm. Like, they were so mad. They attacked the writer. They had a whole campaign to get that part changed because they wanted Sanghwa's like good qualities to be highlighted. And I've written a ton about Sanghwa's good qualities. He's got tons of them. Like, he is such a good live performer. He is so stable in his live vocals. He's so good at hyping the crowd at concerts. So there's tons of things you could say about Sanghwa.
It feels a little misogynistic to be mad that he's being given a primarily like feminine characteristics, mm-hmm. that's his defining characteristics. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why that's bad, because he is very nurturing and he is very caring, and he is a lot of qualities that are typically given to moms. And I know that there are like problems within those, you know, there's no reason why a dad shouldn't also be caring and affectionate and, you know, nurturing, but like that was the point that they were trying to make, that he is kind and nurturing, and that this is also a joke that ATEEZ have made and that they have said before. Yeah. That song was like the mom of the group.
But ATEEZ were mad specifically in this case that in an article he was being identified for traits that are not specific to being an idol. Mm. Like, they wanted his idol traits to be highlighted in this type of article. And it's like, one, what do you mean this type of article? This blog post that probably no one's going to read? The only person reading this blog post, one, is ATEEZ. Mm-hmm. So they're already fans of Sanghwa. It does not matter. You're not trying to convince the readers of this blog post to be fans of Sanghwa, and no one is not going to stan ATEEZ because they read this article and it called Sanghwa a mom. Mm-hmm. It's just not a big, battle to fight.
Right.
And in the end, they attacked this writer enough that the writer did change it. And it's like, and what did that do?
Nothing.
How did that help ATEEZ? How did that help Sanghwa? In this one article that no one's gonna read, he's now mentioned as having, I think they probably changed it to some vocal thing, you know, beautiful live vocals, but no one was gonna read it, especially people who weren't already fans of ATEEZ. So there's no impact to getting that changed, but people worked so hard. They attacked the writer. I know that I also got in a fight with people on Twitter. I was called a Sanghwa anti. Mm. I'm an anti of all of the group, if you listen to people on Twitter. Mm. So, but you know, all that does is writers look at that and they're like, oh, I don't want to write about that group. You say something so, like, they meant Sanghwa was the mom of the group as a compliment. That was clear from the context of the article. So you complimented the group and you got attacked.
Right.
So, you know, pick your battles. Like, is that something you need to attack?
Yeah. Now there's this one very specific way that you can compliment the group. And this kind of ties into with the guy from Oakland. Like, there's one right way, and you better make sure you get that one right way. Cause if you don't, they're going to come after you.
And who wants to write about that? Like, if I was writing for, you know, I live in Dallas. So if I was writing for like the Dallas Morning News, I wouldn't want to write about ATEEZ. Mm-hmm. And I'm an expert on ATEEZ. Yeah. Because I know that if I say the wrong thing, then people are going to attack me. I don't mind writing about ATs on our blog posts or on our podcast because we're doing this for us. This mm-hmm. isn't my income and I'm doing it as a passion project. But if I if it was my job to write articles and that was my livelihood, I wouldn't do it. Not with the way the fandoms react to it.
No, but I think kind of along with that is that people really do need to remember the source. Consider the source.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody is saying garbage, and this kind of ties into that, the Taeil thing, and that list of idols. If Hongjoong and Yosung's name is on a list that is written by a list of idols involved in the deepfake chat rooms, and we don't need to be making a big deal about this if this is just a rando on TikTok, especially if the source is somebody who is a Taeil stan who is defending him and trying to deflect attention from him and elsewhere, and they're casting obviously a very wide net. And it's the same thing with these articles. If it's a cheap little internet article, it's not by a real person, it's not on a real site, one, we don't need to be promoting it. Two, we don't need to be campaigning against it. We don't. Just ignore it. Just let it go. You know, same thing if a girl group stan is trashing ATs. That's all they do. I am telling you, I rarely see girl group stans on Twitter, on the side of Twitter that I sometimes end up on, being happy and having a good time talking about the groups that they love. Just ignore them. Just block them and move on. Stop amplifying them. Stop fighting with them on social media.
We've talked about the people who have, like, 5 followers. Mm-hmm. You've got 5 followers on Twitter, and you have 7,000 quote retweets from ATNEs amplifying your garbage take well past your 5 followers. If you see a person with 5 followers talking shit about ATs, you just block them and move on.
You don't make it like a thing. Don't put that on my timeline.
When you're saying consider the source, like if you have a New York Times article that is actively insulting ATs for things that aren't true, that is the time to step in.
Get after it. Like pull out all your guns. No, don't pull out your guns. Not in this political environment. Guns. Pull out all of your, get in there. Like, this is what you've been training for, is to go after the New York Times for its garbage. Not rando number 787 on the internet's blog post.
What was the name of the blog post that I had, like, pulled up that I got upset because they were talking about Jungho's bad, actually? It was like...
Oh, Asian Junkie.
Asian Junkie.
Like, the name Asian itself. Junkie. What are you talking about?
Asian Junkie writes a post about how bad ATs is. You're just gonna have to let that one roll on by. Who cares? Asian Junkie is probably a blog, like it had 18 comments on it, so it does have a readership. That is a blog post from a blog that has a readership, right? So the only people who are reading that blog is their readership. Those are all people that think alike, and you're not going to convince them of anything different by attacking them. You will only cause them to dig in to their bad opinion.
It is the same thing with Koreaboo, because Koreaboo, they thrive on scandal. They are looking for any sort of whiff of somebody doing something problematic so that they can go dig through all of that fandom's tweets and garbage takes on whatever that problematic thing is, and they can just steal them and post them on their website and generate revenue from all the mad people getting mad about the thing. The appropriate response to Koreaboo writing a trash article is to block them. You don't talk about it. Maybe you can subtweet it and say, hey, Koreaboo wrote this trash, you need to block them. Don't go to the article. Don't quote retweet the article. Don't share the article. What are you doing? Do not give that any promo. You block and you ignore. That is how you deal with trash on the internet.
Well, okay, even backing it up, the social media function in engagement. Angry people are engaged. That is why our political climate is so awful right now. Right? We're just breeding anger and hatred so that people have something to get upset about, and they have these causes that keeps them engaged. So it is the whole social media wheel that is working against us here. But Koreaboo and those types of places, like, that's their bread and butter. They get paid when you click click on that article and they don't get paid a second before then.
Yeah.
As soon as you click on that article, it doesn't even matter how long you stay on there. If you've clicked on that article, you have given them your money. Mm-hmm. And so you have to not click on it. And the only people who care about a negative article from that place are people who already disliked ATs and are just looking for like, yeah, I've been saying it all along. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only people who care. It's not non-fans. Like, it's not just like your average person who is looking for a new group and they've stumbled upon this article and now they're never going to stand ATs. That's not what is happening.
Right.
It's like attracting people who already dislike ATs and giving them more reasons to mm-hmm. do it. And so you don't need the extra ATs coming in there and giving people money.
Right. I have no feelings at all about, let's pick just the most random K-pop group that I've never talked to about before. Let's talk about IVE. I don't really have a lot of feelings about IVE. I like some of their songs. Mm-hmm. If Koreaboo writes a garbage article about IVE, mm-hmm. that does nothing for right. or against them as far as I am concerned. The only people who are wanting to click on that article are people who hate Won Young, people who hate IVE, usually other girl group stans who like a different girl group better than IVE. And so it's all about mm-hmm. the competition.
Right.
That is not going to make me hate them more. It's also mm-hmm. not going to prompt me to want to get in there and defend them. So right. it's only those two groups of people are their only targets, people who want to defend them and people who already hate them. And these are people who are going to be riled up by that.
They make just as much money mm-hmm. on the people who agree with them as the people who disagree with them. They get paid all the same. Mm-hmm. So you cannot give them the click.
Right. So you have to look at your source. You've got to, if you see this is a garbage source that means nothing, and they're only going to make money from creating garbage, you have mm-hmm. to stop having feelings about that. Mm-hmm. I block them. Block them immediately. Block them. Block Azen Junkie. Block Panchoa. Block the account that talks about Panchoa. Block everybody.
Sometimes I find interesting things on Panchoa, so I still have them no, unblocked.
They are blocked, and I'm not going back. I'm not. That's not the life that I want.
You're right. I'm in the wrong.
We've said that there is no right or wrong way to be a fan, and I do stand by that. Mm-hmm. I think there is no right or wrong way to be a fan. If you want to just gush about ATs, gush about ATs. If you just want to be living your best ATs life, live your best ATs life. Mm-hmm. Our point today is not to try to tell people you need to stop talking about ATs unless the timing is perfect. Mm-hmm. No. I think that our goal today is to just help for people who do really want to promote better, mm-hmm. who want to have a happier social media life, a more productive mm-hmm. social media life, whatever. That, I think, is who we're talking to. To the people who are just out there saying whatever, they're not listening to the podcast anyway. Mm-hmm. So can't talk to them. But to those who are like, I want to say something, but I don't know what to say. This one, mm-hmm. I think, that's who this was for.
I don't think either of us are saying either that you have to promote ATs.
No.
Like, it doesn't. And let's say you're not a person who wants to promote ATs. This is just, you know, kind of an overview of why certain discourse on social media is ineffective.
Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or not, I do think that any fan with a presence on social media is part of ATs' promotion. Because you yeah. do reflect back on your fandom. The way mm-hmm. that, like, all of my knowledge and understanding about stays comes from the stays that I have seen and interacted with on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, all of my understanding about Blinks, all of my understanding about armies, that comes from the people that represent them. So if every single stay, every single mm-hmm. army, every single MOA, every single Monbebe or whatever, if mm-hmm. every single one of those interactions has been negative because it's been somebody who's just talking trash about this group that I love,
yeah,
that makes me very resistant to want to be part of that fandom. I may still listen to Monsta X. I may still listen to BTS. I do listen to all of Stray Kids' releases just to see if maybe there will be something that I like, because I listen to everything that comes out. But I have no desire, based on what I have seen on social media, to dig deeper into those fandoms. And the fandom, your fandom life, is a big part of stanning a group. Like, for that's sure. part of the K-pop experience. My K-pop experience before I started like connecting with other ATs was very different from what it is now that I have friends that I talk to about ATs.
Mm-hmm. And we've kind of said this in other places too, like, you don't have to be active on social media mm-hmm. to be part of the fandom. As long as you're not, you know, being an awful person on social media, you're doing a great job. Yeah. So, like, it's fine if your social media circle or your AT&E circle is, you know, just four or five close friends that like ATs, that's great.
Yeah.
If you want to get out there and start saying stuff, you know, just because even when we were on Reddit, you know, I'm thinking about like how easy it is to comment on other people's like Reddit posts. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want to make sure that what you're saying is not a poor reflection on ATs.
Right.
And when you make everything about ATs, when it's not about ATs, that is a poor reflection on ATs.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at holochatpodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.